that better? Okay. Yeah, so we'd like to just share just who we are and kind of what our journey has been, and you know, basically just saying that we just, like you guys, we love Jesus, and like Karen said, we're nothing special. We're just we want to seek Jesus. We want to we want to know Jesus, and we want to basically just again, just like you, just know that we do have the power of Jesus to do things, and just to love Him and just share that love. So that's kind of what we want to do right in the next session, is just kind of talk about who we are and what we've done.
Yeah, so, that is loud. When we, before, Doug's a dentist, we'll start with that. So he's a dentist, and when he first got out of dental school, he just thought, I just don't want to set up a practice. He goes, I want to go do something. And so he went to Trinidad down in the Caribbean and worked for a public health organization down there, basically volunteered for a year. And and then when he came back, he set up a practice in his hometown, this little town where we're from now. So he had a dental practice there. And after about 5 years is when I met him. I'm not from that town at all, but I met him, and he was showing me pictures. We started to date, and he's showing me pictures of his time in Trinidad and some other places he'd been. And he said, you know, I just can't imagine living my life in having this practice and being in this town my whole life. I just really want to go overseas. And I'm thinking, wow, I hope this works out, because I really want to go overseas too. I mean, that's like my heart too. And God's, you know, chuckling, because he's like, well, of course I brought you together, you know. So it's like, so we got married. We started to make plans to be able to go overseas. I mean, that was just our heart. So we started to put our lives in a place where we could go overseas. So we ended up going to, he sold his practice, and we lived in Kathmandu, Nepal for a year. And he was practicing dentistry with all the foreign embassy people and aid workers from all the different nations. So not the locals, you know, they weren't allowed to practice on them, because they had their own, you know, people. But anybody who was from another country who needed dental work, because before that there was, you know, they always had to fly to Thailand and go get dental work. So this was unusual to have a dental practice there. So he worked for some friends of his for a year. And then we went to Thailand for a little while, and we were in Bangkok. Then we went to a little tiny island, smaller than our town now, in the South Pacific, and worked there for 2 years. Then we went to another little tiny island in the South Pacific and worked there for 2 years. And then we went to YWAM. So that's Youth with a Mission. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Youth with a Mission. It's an international mission organization. So it's not just for youth. It's old people with a mission also, so I'll clarify that. But it raises up people just to, who are you in God? Who's God in you? And you do 3 months of a school, discipleship training school, where you get so set in God, you know, like, who is He? Who am I? What is He, you know, what's my destiny and plan and purpose? And then you go 2.5 to 3 months someplace else in the world and just put it all into practice, you know, so you become missionaries for that time. And so we did that. By then we had a 6-year-old daughter, and so she went to the school with us, and they give the kids their own little mini discipleship training school while they do their schoolwork too. And so we did our school in Hawaii, because it was one of the schools that offered the school for kids too. And then we went to the Philippines for 3 months and did that. So during that time, did I leave anything out?
No.
So during that time, somewhere during our schooling, somewhere towards the front of our 3-month school phase, one of the speakers was talking about Matthew 4:23. And, we got that. We'll try to do this. You know, we're just like not experts about this. But so Matthew 4:23, the speaker was talking about Jesus went about the area teaching people, preaching the good news, and healing the sick. So, teaching, preaching, and healing. And, yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, so here's the scripture right here that we were basically given, or we grabbed onto. And again, like Karen said, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people.
So something just struck us, you know, and it was kind of like, well, if Jesus was doing that, then we should be doing that. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, you know how God just puts something in your, and it's like, well, we're supposed to do what Jesus did, so if he does that, then we're supposed to do that. And I'm thinking, well, I don't, how am I ever going to be teaching? How am I going to be preaching or proclaiming or, you know, when's that going to happen in healing? I don't know. I mean, but I just felt like, well, I got to try to be like Jesus. I got to try to teach, preach, and heal. So it was just in our spirits to do that. So then towards the end of our school, the same thing came up again by somebody else, just, and it just struck us again, okay, that we really need to do this. So we got done with our outreach in the Philippines where we were doing mission work out there and everything, and we're like, okay, now we're really ready to go back overseas, and we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. We're just going to go do work for God. So we're really excited because we've been overseas for like 7 or 8 years before this, you know, so we just want, that's all we want to do is go do that. So now we're really ready to go overseas and serve God. And we're kind of waiting for God to tell us, like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And it pretty soon becomes clear that he's telling us that we need to go back to the States.
Yeah, that's not what we wanted to do. You know, in our minds, we're thinking, no, we was in our seas, we want to just continue this on. We felt like, yeah, God's going to send us overseas, and that's not what he told us. What he was for us to do.
I mean, we truly were disappointed. We're like, oh my gosh, we haven't lived in the States for a long time. So we go back to the States, and, you know, we first went to his hometown, and we were debating whether we were going to go live here or there, and then somebody gave us a word from the Lord. You know, they said, the Lord spoke to me about you and said that you are in a resting phase, and when you're done resting, you'll get to go. And we're like going, oh, good, you know, that, you know, year, two at the most, kind of reorganize, regroup, you know, this, great, we're going to go again. Well, okay, that was 17 years ago. 17. God is so funny. But what he was talking about wasn't like, oh yeah, we were so exhausted after that mission time, we need to rest. He was talking about the rest of the Lord. Learning a lifestyle of being in the rest of the Lord. And waiting for him and learning from him. So we never expected. We were expecting to go at any time. I mean, we would always ask our daughter, okay, you're ready to go homeschool, right? When we, you know, if we go overseas, you good with homeschooling still, you know? And the older she got, the more she's like, oh, you know. At first she was like, okay. But, which is probably good because I didn't really want to homeschool. I think we would have, you know, probably had to kill each other because I don't know if I'm a homeschool mom. But anyway, but we were all prepared and we just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, but once in a while, well, no, more than once in a while, we'd get really frustrated and we'd go, let's just go. You know, but you just knew deep down, it's like, well, what would we do? If God doesn't send you, what are we going to do? You know, you could go make something up. I mean, you could go teach or do something, but if it's not God, you know what I mean? There's just, what's the point of that? You get worn out, you know, weary, and you're not in the rest of the Lord because you're not doing what he's asked you to do at the time. So
yeah, and one of the scriptures, this is a scripture that Karen read yesterday, Matthew 11, 20 and 30, and this is, are you tired? And this is, again, this is from the Message Bible, which has a more of a modern-day language. It's really nice to kind of read it in the Message Bible. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on tradition? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced living with grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn from the three-day life. So the thing that we learned was, like Karen said, it wasn't like rest. Okay, we're really burned out with tired. We're going to sleep for 3 or 4 months. It was more like just that with message of the Lord, he's going to teach you, he's going to show you things, he's going to, we're going to get into sync with who he is and what we are within him. And so that was what we learned. We just learned that just being in the rest of the Lord, that he's going to download things, looking at us, download things that we're going to be able to use in the future, and just, I guess, just grow in his knowledge. And some of the things that we learned,
So we wanted just to spend some time just talking about really the things that we're going to share right now. It's kind of like that book, I don't know if any of you saw it, several years ago came out, and it said, everything I ever needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten or something like that. But it was just this basic book about be nice to people, learn to share, that kind of, I mean, that's what this feels like, is that these should be the basics of Christianity 101, but somehow we have just like run past them and we've become weary and stressed out and burdened with religion or burdened with life. And God just calls us to be like little children and just enjoy life. And it just gets back down to the basics, listening to him, waiting for him, don't run ahead, enjoy every moment, that kind of thing. So that's what we're just going to share, some of the things that we learned through this.
Here's a couple of scriptures, again, out of the Message Bible that are just saying Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And then John 10:27, and my sheep recognize my voice, I know them, and they follow. So it's just, when you're rested in the Lord, you can just hear what he's trying to say to you. And one example we have, again, we're not saying we do this all the time. I mean, we're just like, I'm the worst there is at it, you know. But one of the things that we did that is sort of, I guess, an encouragement that God gave us is we had an opportunity last year to go to Guatemala, Mexico, and to speak at a YWAM base. And we were going to go down there, and we were asked to go down and speak for 5 days. And so we were given the dates to go down. The leader said, go down and speak on this particular day within April. And of course, we think, well, we happen to have 2 weeks off at that time. So for my job as a dentist, I had 2 weeks off, and we're going to go work those 5 days. We're going to go speak those 5 days. And we thought, okay, we're going to Guatemala. We'll go get some sunshine, you know, go lay on the beach. You know, what can be better than that? But we said, well, let's ask God, when should we go? So we thought, well, let's just pray. So we all just sat down, and we just prayed. We said, Lord, when do you want us to go? I mean, it's obvious we've got 2 weeks off. We could, in our fleshly thinking, just go, here's the date we're going. We said, let's ask God. So we said, we both sat down. We just got in the rest. We just prayed. We said, Lord, just tell us, you know, when. And what we both felt like he said was wait. We said, okay. So we just didn't do anything. We didn't book any tickets. We waited a week. We prayed again. And then we felt again like the Lord said, wait. So we waited another week. So then we prayed again. And this time we both felt like the Lord was saying these particular days. So we said, well, we both agreed. And so we booked the ticket. Well, that's the day. And again, where we're set up was we're going to go early. And in our mind, we were going to go hang out on the beach and go enjoy ourselves. And what's better than going to Guatemala, right? So basically, we said we were having a day. Well, about a week later, the leader called, and he said, now, when are you coming? And we told him, and he just starts laughing.
Because we had planned, when the Lord told us to come, was like the Tuesday before we're supposed to speak on the next Monday. So we're coming not quite 2 weeks, but
yeah.
Early.
Yeah. So he calls us, and he starts laughing. And he goes, oh, okay, I get it now. He knows us. And he said, what happened was that a speaker from Chile, Santiago of Chile, was coming, and he was supposed to speak the week before us. He got confused and booked his ticket at the same time we were going to speak. So now he has two speakers at the same time. So he said, can you go ahead and speak the week before? We said, sure, we're already there. So basically, we felt like the Lord was setting up a time and setting up a situation where, you know, he knew what was going on. And so we went to the our booking. We went ahead and spoke the week before. Then we got to stay that next week while the other speaker was speaking and pray for people. It worked out really good. So, yeah, to me, it's just a tangible encouragement from the Lord. And if you seek my voice, if you ask me, I will lead you. And it can be a simple thing, but it's basically just a good way to know that we can ask him and he will tell us. So.
Yeah, in fact, when we were praying together about what we were going to do, and this just amazed us as we started to practice this, is that, so we both felt the Lord said wait, and then he said wait again, and then as we're praying, I think he heard Tuesday, and I heard 12 days. So we knew when we had to come back, and so we just went back 12 days, and guess what? It was a Tuesday. You know, so we're like, oh, well, there's our date. That's when we're supposed to go.
Yeah. And, you know, we both realize our flesh gets in the way, and you know, who knows? But I guess if you just try, you know, definitely God is going to help you out with people. Another thing that we have, you know, tried to do in this, 17 years of the rest of the Lord, is to follow the Holy Spirit. And here's another scripture, Luke 12, 11, 12. When they drag him into their meeting places, or into the court, and before judges, no, we're not.
not yet.
Yeah. Don't worry about defending yourself. What you'll say. Don't worry about defending yourself. What you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. And so this is just talking about just listening to the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit just speak through you.
So here's my example of this. I got asked to go speak. We've been to India before, and we are connected still with YWAM, just because we have a base nearby our town and we know the people there, so sometimes we get to speak at their schools. But so I got asked to go along to India and speak at a pastor's conference, and I had done that about 6 years before. And in India, I don't know if you've ever been there, it's women do not take any kind of important role. They don't want you to speak if you're not a pastor. They don't want you to speak if you're not ordained. And then if you're a woman, well, just forget it. So really, I mean, the first time I went, you know, 6 years before, I go, yeah, three strikes, I was already out. And I go, I knew this because we lived in Nepal and we know how that was. And I said, I do not need to speak at this. You know, and they're like, no, we want you to speak. There was other people going and there was other pastors going. And I said, no, I don't want to speak. So this was 6 years before. And, you know, one pastor got up who had traveled with us. He introduced me. A second pastor who had got up introduced me. And then the third pastor who was there who had organized the event who knew me, he introduced me. So they gave me like three introductions to try to like, you know, give me some kind of, you know, something, credibility, so they'd listen to me. So, and they were polite, but it, you know, you could tell that they weren't totally receiving. And, you know, it's like, oh well, whatever. So now I get asked to speak at this pastor's conference, and I'm like, no, I don't really need to speak there, because I know how that goes, you know. So, and they go, no, we want you to speak, you're coming, you know, you should speak. So, I'm going, okay, God, I want to speak whatever you tell me. I'm going to, you know, this is a few months before I was going to go to India. So, okay, what do you want me to speak on? Because, you know, I could get out a pen and paper and I could pick my favorite scripture, write that down and start, you know, writing stuff on that, right? I mean, because we know stuff and we can look stuff up in the Bible and whatever. But I really want to do what the Lord has for me to do. And I could go, oh, well, that's a good idea. I think that's from the Lord. And then I could write down a bunch of stuff. And that would still be okay. You could preach from the Bible and everything else. But there's still even more. It's like, no, I want to do exactly what... I don't want it to be my good idea or what I think is your idea, but I'm just doing it. So I'm just saying, okay, Lord, I'm waiting for the download. You know, I'm waiting for you to give me what I'm supposed to talk about and give me the scriptures and the stories, whatever. So while I'm waiting and not getting anything and... You know, just kind of, you're going about your business for those several months, but you just kind of keep the lights on up here.
Okay.
Waiting for the download. Well, you know, whatever you want me to talk about. You know, and then you're thinking, should it be this, should it be that? I'm like, oh, just waiting. Well, he's not telling me anything. And so finally, I set aside, we're leaving on Tuesday, and I've set aside Saturday, the whole day. Okay, today's download day. I've just been really busy. He's probably going to download today now that I've just set aside this whole day. So I'm ready, you know, practically got my pen ready. There's nothing coming. There's nothing. I'm repenting. I'm, you know, forgiving people. I'm going through, what have I done? What's blocking? What everything? So finally, in a panic, I call my friend. I go, I don't know what's wrong. I'm not hearing from God. I'm just not hearing him. I don't know what's blocking. I don't know what I'm supposed to speak on. We're leaving in 3 days. And she starts laughing. She goes, you can hear from God. You always hear from God. Do you think that maybe God's just having you trust him a little bit more? Like maybe you just, he's going to not give it to you right now? You know, when she said it, I knew it was true. But it was like, I don't want to do it this way. I want to practice when you're like in a small group, you know. But that's the trouble. I could hear from him in a small group. But I don't want to hear from him in front of some pastors in India where already they may not want you to speak. And I don't want to disappoint the people who ask me to speak. I mean, I'm just like, this is not funny, God. But I just knew deep down in my spirit, once I passed this test, that it was going to take me to a whole different level. I mean, I just knew that. You know how do you grow your faith? Well, you have to be tested. Well, you know, okay. So I go, okay, it's either I'm going to believe God that he's going to give me what I need to speak on, you know, sometime, you know, beyond this point. I'm either going to believe that God is big enough and good enough to do that, or I might as well just not believe in him at all. I mean, really, that's the decision. Is God big enough, no matter what you're doing? Is he big enough, good enough, amazing enough that he can do this? If he is not, then really, let's, you know, let's just give up coming to church. I mean, you can watch TV on Sunday. I mean, really, God is big enough. And so I thought, okay, it's either he's big enough or I don't even, you know, I'm going to not serve him because he's not God at all. So I settled that in my spirit, and I just began to say, okay, God, thank you. You got something for me. And, you know, and then the guy who invited me, he's the pastor, he's like going, you know, how's your message coming? Good? Fine? I just don't even know what to say. So honestly, I sat in my chair, and the speaker before me is speaking, and I still do not know what I'm going to say. I'm like going, oh, okay. But I just thought, God, you just, even if I fall on my face, you're still God. I mean, I just had, he had settled it in my spirit. I go, okay, whatever. And so there was a scripture that somebody had given right before me, and I thought, well, maybe that's it. I kind of lifted it up, and I go, well, I'll just kind of have that ready. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I got up there, and to this day, I can't exactly tell you everything I spoke on, but I think it was okay because they've asked me to come back and speak on it again, you know. So it was, he gave me everything that I needed to speak on at that time. And since that time, it has changed for me because now I stand with confidence and know that if I am to speak, he will give me the words that I need to say. You know, now there may come times that he wants me to look up a bunch of things, but you know, there's just times that he just makes it ready. He told me, you're full. This is what he said to me personally. You're full. You have it inside you, you know, and you just speak. And it's kind of like when I'm done, it, you know, you run out of things to say. So, and if nothing comes, then it probably just means I'm not supposed to be speaking at all, you know. Wait on God, you know, we're just going to sit down. So it really has changed what I do now because I had no fear. I told somebody, our pastor, just 2 weeks ago, got up Sunday morning and he's like, well, I'm not feeling very well, you know, and he goes, I'm, you know, not sure if I'm going to make it through the service. And I would never, honestly, before this time in India, I would never have done this. I went and prayed for him during worship and I said, if you can't make it, I'll go up and give the message. And I mean, it didn't even bother me. I said, I'll give the message. I don't even know what I say, but I have confidence. I go, well, if somebody needs to do, yeah, look, luckily they didn't have to listen to me. But I mean, I felt that confident, like, if somebody needs to give the message and God wants to use me, I will do it because he'll give me something when I stand up there. So that, I mean, they're talking about if you get dragged before the courts, don't worry. But I mean, yeah, if you get dragged before the Indian pastors conference, don't worry either, you know. He'll give you something to say. And actually, I will say something about those Indian pastors we were with. It was a different group, and they were just so hungry for the Lord, so they didn't care who gave the message. So it really was even better. They were just hungry to receive more. So that was neat. So anyway, that was my big adventure.
So here's another scripture that's going along with this, Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all.
So here, this is an example from what. So now, okay, so Doug, after he sold his practice and then we went overseas for those 7 or 8 years, he was practicing dentistry in all those places, different things like public health and things like that. So when the Lord told us that we were supposed to come back to the States, he's like going, I don't want to set up a practice. You know, I want to be prepared to leave any time now because we're thinking still at this time that we're going to go in the next year or two. And he's like going, I don't want to set up a practice. So we've been praying about that. So what God opened the door was to teach at a dental hygiene school. And so for the last 17 years, he was teaching, so he got to use everything that he already knows about dentistry and then teach students and, you know, teach and do the clinic work and all that kind of stuff. And it turns out that he loves to teach. I mean, he didn't know that. He's kind of shy, and you would never guess that he really is shy and doesn't always like to get up in front of people. But all his years of teaching, really it was God's way of preparing him for that teach, preach, and heal. Which, because he would have thought, yeah, I mean, I know he was thinking, well, yeah, we should do that, but, oh, I don't know.
Sometimes things just fall into your lap, and you find out it is God, and it's just something that you just love, and you know that God orchestrated, and that was what the situation that I fell into. So I just really thank the Lord for what had happened and the fact that I was able to.
Yeah, so we enjoyed that teaching, but then it was also preparation for this next phase of our life. So we felt like the Lord was saying, because we've been waiting, you know, it's like every year. Do we get to go yet? Do we get to go yet? So we would take, like, when he was, like, on a school break, we would take, like, a 2-week mission trip, like, every year. Just go someplace, go do something so that we didn't, like, you know, we just wanted to go so much. So we would take a little mission trip and then come back and, you know, kind of settle you for another little bit to wait it out some more. So over the last 2 years, we've kind of felt like God was saying, okay, you're getting really close, getting time. So my husband quit at the end of this last year. He's just helping with some transition right now, but he's basically done with his job. And I had 2 part-time jobs, and they ended last year, so we knew it was really getting close. I mean, the contracting ended the situation. So now he is jobless. I'm jobless. So here's what's been happening. We know that God is going to lead us, but we're not with a mission organization. We're not with a church that's sending us. I mean, we have a church, but they don't, you know, they're not sending us. We just know that God's going to provide opportunities for us. And we're supposed to teach, preach, and heal. That's our word. You know? So people are like saying, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. You going to live overseas? I don't know. What are you going to do for money? I don't know. What about your house? I don't know. You know, I mean, it gets really intimidating. I mean, that you start feeling like these poor high school students. What are you going to do with your life? I mean, you know, and it's stressful. But because, thankfully, it probably took us 17 years to get to this place where we can just say, now, I don't know, but it's okay. I mean, it's okay. God's going to show us. I mean, he will show us what comes next. So we are walking step by step. So what was funny about this was, I mean, and I even told Doug, I said, what if he just makes us wait the whole first year? Like a whole year of resting in the Lord. you know, I was thinking, oh, that's going to be really a long time. But I thought, okay, we got to be prepared to do that. So, but what he did was we were just waiting, and we got invited to go on a trip to India, but we just said, well, we'll have to ask the Lord. You know, your temptation is like, well, of course we'll go. We're ready. We're free, you know. But we said, no, we got to ask the Lord. The Lord just kept saying, this was last fall, and he's like saying, you know, wait. And then they'd ask us again, are you going? I don't know. If you need an answer now, it'll be no, because the Lord is not telling us. So if you have to have an answer, then we can't give one. You'll just have to plan without us. I mean, but this is good, because we didn't used to be this confident, you know. So now we're just like, okay, we'll just wait. Well, as we were waiting during this time, we finally, it was just a crazy thing, because all I can tell you is within a 24-hour period, and we've been waiting for a while to even tell them if we could go on this little trip to India, within a 24-hour period, we all of a sudden were asked to speak at like three different places in India, and the airfare went way down, which God doesn't care about that, but he knows we do, so he like, you know, gave us this really good airfare. And within 24 hours, we had like three or four things booked to speak, and we had airfare purchased, and we're going to India for 7 weeks. It's like, oh, how'd that happen? I mean, we were even emailing people, and they were up in the middle of the night. I'm like, what in the world? How is this even happening? You know, because we're like, email them. You know, we heard that you were looking for a speaker for this. And then they're emailing me back, and it's 1:30 in the morning, their time. I'm like, how is this even happening? Because God just was like, okay, all wrapped up, India, there you go. You know, so that was our first one, and then I think, you know, David inviting us down here was just part like, oh, well, that fits. We can do that before we go to India. That's nice, you know. So, is that right, God? So that's all we have so far. So people are going, well, what are you doing after India? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get back? I don't know.
So one of the scriptures goes along with this is 1 Peter 5:6-7. So it says, so be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. And that's just, you know, wonderful scripture. I mean, it's like, live carefree before God. I mean, you know, we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress about things. I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, we still worry. I mean, obviously, we're still human, but we can strive for that, and we can put in the rest, and we can, like, shared yesterday about, you know, be anxious and happy. And so it's just something that, again, wonderful statement of just saying that he basically just needs to, not worry about things, just trust God.
If one of the things that I was worried about is like, oh, well, you know, who are we going to get to look after our house while we're gone for 2 months, you know, and it's, you know, you're kind of worried about, like, is somebody going to, you know, break in, or for us, it gets really cold up there. It's like, what if it gets really cold and our pipes freeze, you know, and, well, what about this, what about that? But, you know, God just told me one day, he goes, why are you worried about that? I told you not to worry about anything. You're worrying about your house. You know, talks to me about that for a little bit, and then it's like, okay, I'm not going to worry about the house. It's his house anyway, so, you know, so I don't worry about the house. Maybe somebody will come live there while we're gone, I don't know. I'm just not going to worry about it. And I feel so much better. It's just like one less thing off my list.
Yeah, speaking of that, it was really cold and snowy when we left, and you know what? I really like listening to that lawnmower out there.
It's like,
I didn't know you could use a lawnmower in January.
our lawn is under snow.
Yeah. So anyway, I was teasing David about how wonderful you guys' weather is.
Yeah, it feels good for us to come down here and have it be so warm. Okay, where do we got to go?
One of the things that we also really just kind of grabbed onto was just the concept of praise changes the atmosphere. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be cheerful no matter what. Be cheerful no matter what, excuse me. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belongs to Christ, you to live.
Yeah, so, and I shared this with a couple of people last night. So, you know, we just need to, us included, we need to learn so much more about praying, because, you know, we just like, you know, constantly talk, and really what God wants to have is a conversation, you know, not us just talking to him or at him, or throwing our prayers out there like hoping they kind of somehow make it there. Like, oh, I'll throw it out there and maybe I'll get an answer, you know, and maybe it'll make it through the heavens and it'll come back. But he told me one time, he said, you know, I heard you the very first time you asked me. And I'm on it. It's just that we don't always get that, you know, his timing is just different, or that he's actually moving. He's always doing something. You know, he's always working on something. We just don't always see it. So he said, I heard you. And then the rest of my prayers, I really just try to say, wow, God, I know you heard me. You're on this. You know my heart for this person or for this situation, and I know you're taking care of it. Thank you that your plan is awesome because you're good. You have a really good plan for that person. You have a really good idea about what you're going to do, and I can just agree with your plan. I don't know what it is you're doing, but I can agree with you. This is good. This is going to be really, really good. Wow, thank you, you know, and it's way more fun to thank him and praise him and be at that higher place than be, you know, embracing the stress of this situation. You know how we talked about that? You embrace what you face. Man, I'm just going to face Jesus and go, your job. So one of the times when I was kind of stressed out about something, you know, he has a way of pointing out some things, you know. He said to me one time, and he goes, let's talk about trust. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing really good, aren't I? I mean, I really, and he goes, yeah, except for this little area over here. You're kind of so stressed about that. And soon as he said that, you go, oh, I know he's right. You know, so he showed me, and it's one of those, it's kind of like the testimony I gave last night. I was actually having an experience with him, and I was with him, and I was a little girl, so I wasn't having a memory. It was just, I was a little girl in a palace, and he's my dad, the king. And we're in his palace, and it's huge. It's really cool. I mean, it's really, really nice. And so he takes a key, and it had a pink ribbon on it, and he puts it around my neck. And even at the time, I'm thinking, why is it a pink ribbon? And he's like, well, I'm a dad, and that's what I would give to my little girl is a ribbon, you know, a pink ribbon on a key. So he gives me a key. Now, I'll explain about this in a second. So he puts this key around my neck, and he says, this key will open any door in my palace. Any door in my palace. You can go anywhere in my palace you want. Now, in God's house, are there any rooms that are going to be bad? Scary, awful. The guillotine. You know. No, I mean, every room in his house is going to be good, right? And he's given us access to every single room in his house, right? But he said, here's the problem. He said, because you just don't always think I'm a very good God or that I'm very trustworthy, you know, you either won't open the door or you open it and you expect something bad. Like he's a mean God, you know, that he's something bad for me behind that door, you know. 50 push-ups, get down. You know, so he said, you have to expect that when you open that door, no matter what you see, it's going to be good. Because what we judge with our eyes, what our expectation is going to determine what this situation is. Okay? So I looked at the key, and one side, it said peace on it, and that was the side he put next to my heart. Like, come out of that place of peace, be in that place of peace, get to a place where you just feel so good about his presence, you know that he's good, and that he's got this. And then the other side says, expect God. And it's kind of like the expectation of good, expect God. And so as I open this door, instead of looking at him and going, I don't know, this doesn't look very good. You know, and this has to do with situations in our life, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't like this, oh, this is bad. And he's like, you know what? I've planned it. It's good. So no matter what you think, it's good. He said, you have to expect that I'm good, I'm God, and what is in there is good. So an example of this, I mean, but it was so much fun to know that I have access to my father's house, and he gave me a key with a pink ribbon. So an example of this is one of the times when I was just sitting with the Lord, and he told me that there was a dip coming, like a dip. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what does that mean? You know, and I'm thinking, someone's going to die, all of our finances are going to go away, I'm going to be in a car wreck and lose an arm and a leg. I mean, you don't know. I mean, you think the worst, of course, but he didn't say what the dip was. He just said, there's a dip coming, and he said, that I have prepared everything. I've planned it. You're coming, it's going to be a dip for a season, and you're going to come out the other side. I have made every provision. Everything you need has already been taken care of. And he gave me a picture of Jesus, and he's looking really sharp in a business suit, and he's looking at stock reports that were coming right off the press. And he's looking at the reports going, you know, where they show it's up or it's down, you know, and he's like going, knew that, oh, already knew that, oh, knew that one, because he already knows, right? He already knows everything, and he's saying, I've already provided everything. Nothing is a surprise to me. I already know. Well, I was kind of, had the feeling, kind of just the sense that this dip was going to come at the first part of the year, and this was like a year ago. And so I was thinking, okay, I don't know what it's going to be, but I have to expect that it's all going to be good. He said he provided. And I asked him at the time, I said, okay, well, is there anything I need to do to prepare? He said, I just want you to live in each moment. Just live in each day. Love people. Laugh. Have fun. Just live in each moment. So, my family all gathered to celebrate my mom's 85th birthday, and my brother died unexpectedly on that day. But we were all together. I mean, it was, you know, a huge shock, everything else, but I knew that was God had told me. And my family's all believers. We just gathered and prayed. My sister-in-law is not a believer. She's the only one who's not a believer. But we were able to just gather and pray for her and go and support her. And we just knew that this, he had already provided. I mean, he even provided that we were together. You know what I mean? And my mom, because she has such a thankful heart, she just said, well, I mean, she's hurting really a lot. And it was her birthday. And she just said, you know, I just decided that what better gift could a mom have than to know that her son went to be with Jesus on her birthday. You know, and that came out of a thankful heart. But the fact that God provides, so even though that door, you know, you open the door, you go, that doesn't look very good. God's still good. I mean, he's still just so, so good. And, you know, I miss my brother, but he's in heaven. Oh, my gosh. He's just really having a good time. I'm so jealous of Jesus, you know. He gets to have my brother. And we'll see him. You know, we'll see him again. So that's the whole thing about trusting God and being able to live carefree because he already has it planned. You know, we get all stressed and then you just look at Jesus and he's like, I already knew that. Not stressed. You know, I can handle this. So, and just so you know, this key, somebody, it was funny, after that event that I had where Jesus gave me this key, somebody came up to me and they said, I felt like I was supposed to give you this key. You know, because God's funny. Yeah, so I took this key, and it's so cute, right? It's got the heart, and I had it engraved just so I would remember and put it on a pink ribbon and stuff. So that's my reminder.
This next section that we wanted to talk about is really exciting to me, and because it's something that I had a really, really, really hard time of getting inside of myself, inside of me. And so this is from John 14, and so I really, really like the whole chapter. In fact, pretense here, I just want to just explain what's going on in John 14. This is where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's basically saying, I'm going to be leaving. He's basically saying, I'm going to be crucified, and the apostles, being the apostles, are saying, well, what about us? You know, what about, what's going to happen to us? In this whole chapter, he's explaining that he is God. When you see Jesus, you're looking at God. And I don't have the scripture up here, but let me read another scripture out of chapter 14. So this is, I'm going to read to you chapter 14, and this is verse 12, 13, and 14. So chapter 14, 12 through 14, it says, this is Jesus talking, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than those he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is telling the disciples that basically that, you know, just ask, and he's also explaining in this chapter that when you see Jesus, you're seeing God. And another, you know, famous scripture is, I'm sorry, I just can't see it, but basically it's just saying that when you see Jesus, they're saying, who are you? He said, well, Jesus, I'm the Father. So this is kind of the background of this. Okay, here's the next one. This is 14, 18 through 20. The apostles are saying, you know, what about us? What happened to us? So Jesus responds, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. And the reason I really, really like this scripture or this whole chapter is basically what he's saying is he's talking about the Trinity. He's basically saying that I'm God and also the Holy Spirit is coming. And that's what he's referring to this. He's basically saying that the Holy Spirit is coming back. Now, the next scripture is out of Romans. And this is a very famous scripture, chapter 8, 11. It's explaining that when we have Jesus in us, so we've all accepted Jesus, and we need to remember that we have the power of Jesus. And I think that's the exciting thing for me, is knowing that his promises to us is that we have the living God inside of us, and we have that power. So it says, Dan's reading does it, that the live and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, you'll do the same thing in, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. So I think for me, the thing that I need to remember is the fact that we have that living power. We have that Jesus inside of us. We have the promise from Jesus that we are going to basically do great things. But we also need to remember that we are, you know, we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. We don't have to be afraid of the things that are of this world. We have the power of Jesus. And I think for me, I forget that all the time. I forget that we have that authority. One of the things that was very tangible to me with this thing, we went to Cambodia a couple of years ago, and we were actually able to do some mission work with some cousins of mine that were over there as missionaries. And what we saw was that when they would go to these prayer meetings, that they would basically just pray for people, and when the Holy Spirit would come down with them, then it's just was attractive. These people would be attracted towards my cousins. And it wasn't anything they were doing. It's just that they saw that Jesus, they saw the Holy Spirit in them. And I hadn't really, really ever seen that before, where you could actually tangibly, you know how it is when you can actually just see it. You can just see just the attraction. You can just see the fact that people are just attracted to the fact that they see Jesus in them and with the Holy Spirit. And then you can just again just see wonderful things happen when the Holy Spirit comes down through them. And so, again, it was just something that I'll always remember, just having just that God, again, is, and just things I always try to remember for myself is knowing that we do have God, we do have Jesus inside of us. It's just something to always remember. So let's go ahead and go to the next one. With that, one thing that Karen mentioned yesterday was about fear. And one analogy we like to use here is that we think of fear, and again, this is sort of segue into the fact that we do have Jesus in us, so we really don't have to fear anything. Now, again, that's easy to say, but the idea is that we have one coin, and you've got two sides. Fear is on one side, and faith, and I like to think of trust as being the same thing as faith, trusting in God. Faith is on the other side. So you will be either on one side or the other. And with Christ, it's impossible to be on both sides at the same time. So one side is currently, obviously that's going to be fear, and the other side sets you free. So trust and faith in Christ. Just that trust that we are the manifestation of the living God. He dwells in us and we have that power. We have the power to be set free as captives. We have the power to basically, again, just do things that he has said, you know, sent us to do. So, again, do I walk in this all the time or as well as I should? Absolutely not. I'm as fearful, I'm as bad as anybody, worse than everybody. But I do have that prompt. I do have that, but I just keep reminding myself that he is going to be there. He is going to be somebody that I can constantly trust. And that's just something to really, really try to grab on.
And so there is one coin, fear and faith, but there's lots of issues. So like I said, I feel like I'm really walking in the faith part over here, and then God goes, yeah, you know, you're worried about your house, leaving it for 7 weeks. You know, so over here, I'm struggling with the fear of faith thing. So there could be lots of coins. You know, there's some places where we really have the faith, and then there's other places where, like, I'm just struggling. It might be something big, might be something little. And he wants to just heal us from those things because he's good and he's, you know, he's good. You can open up any door you want and he's going to be there and he's going to deliver. You know, I mean, he will. We just got to get this in our spirit that he's just so good. He's going to deliver good things. I have a story. Now, this one is radical. It's a lady that I know that was in, she just died a couple years ago, and she was in international ministry her entire life. I mean, she served in missions, lived overseas for years and years, and then she just, even into her 90s, she was still traveling like 90% of the time speaking, and, you know, I mean, she was just an amazing woman. So, when she was early on, she was living in Hong Kong, and she had three children, and I think her husband had died or was ministering, living someplace else at the time, I don't know. She has three children, and she knows that God is calling her to start going out and teaching again like she did before she had children. But she was resisting the Lord because she said, who's going to take care of my children? You know, I got these three boys. Who's going to take care of them? Because, you know, I don't have a husband here taking care of them, and, you know. And so the Lord kind of kept prompting her, no, I want you to go. I want you to start going to these places again. And she's like, well, I can't because who's going to take care of my kids? So one day, her son fell in a klong in Hong Kong, one of those really horrible canals that are just black and people die from falling in the klongs because it gets in your lungs and there's so much bacteria. Anyway, he almost drowned in a klong. A few days later, another son got hit by a car. And then by the end of the week, something had happened to her third kid, the same thing. Life could have been killed. They all three lived, which was just amazing for the accidents that happened to them. They all three lived. You know, God just miraculously brought them out. And God said to her, now, who do you really think can take better care of your children, you or me? Because God said, you cannot watch over your children. You thought you had them watched over when these things happened. But they happened. You know, I can take care of your children if you will trust me. And I want you to go. Will you go and let me take care of your children? So, what can she say? Sure, I'll go now. Because he was just showing, you know, we think that we got to be in control of this stuff. And the bottom line is we can't. And it's too much effort, and we will never be as effective as God. We can trust him with the littlest thing or the biggest thing. You know, our finances, I mean, like we said, we just felt like we were supposed to try to save money all these years, and we've done that, and you know, now we're kind of on a budget, but he just said, you know, just trust me. He said, your money will never be enough, but I will always be enough. So, you know, we kind of made out a budget, but what we say is, if God tells us to take a trip or go somewhere, we're going to do it. You know, and if it's like outside the budget, we'll just do it anyway because he's going to provide for us. So, because he's big enough. He can do this. So we just got to get this in our head and get out of the fear, because fear is crippling. It will keep you from, it'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your destiny. It'll rob you of relationships, because of just when we stay in fear, it keeps us from doing something that we were already designed to do. You know, the enemy loves to keep us in fear. I mean, that, you know, the enemy doesn't really have anything except for fear. He makes himself look really big with fear, and he comes on us, and it just keeps us down. You know, so we can just ask the Lord, I just don't want to have that fear anymore. And start getting rid of these fears one by one. I mean, there's the big blatant fears, like, oh, I have a fear of heights, or I'm fear of spiders or something. And those, you know, he can heal us of those, but it's all these little hidden fears that we don't even realize.
So, the last slide here, last scripture, God will never leave us. Just continuing on what Karen was saying. So, we had Hebrews 13:5-6. Says, God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. You can hold it close. God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get you?
I mean, my desire now, the more free I get, you know, the more, yeah, David never sure how I'm going to be when I show up. He's like, oh no, she just gets more wild every time she comes to California. It really is true, because you start to be more and more of who you are. You guys are not going to be me. I mean, I am just becoming more of who God made me to be. I mean, I just love colors, and I love, you know, expressive things, and you know, that's not my husband, he's really conservative, but you become more of who you were really designed to be, and it's so much freedom in that. I just do not have to spend my time worrying like I used to, you know, what are they thinking about me, or what if I don't, you know, do it like somebody else does it, and you know, whatever. You just become more and more and more free, and really able to step into your destiny, which is exciting to me. And I mean, you think about in the book of Acts, you know, they got beaten, and then they go back, and they're like, wow, we got beaten. And so let's pray for more boldness. Let's go back to where they told us not to go and preach the gospel some more. Oh my gosh. You know, I don't think I'm that bold yet, but I want to be. And it's not like, you know, I have to go make that happen. You know, would you just please beat me? You know, I'm not going to do that. But I just want to be so bold that, you know what, it just doesn't, I don't care. I mean, I just want to go do stuff that God has for me to do, whatever it is. Whether it's, you know, me proclaiming, or, you know, you guys just doing whatever it is you do, just to do it with boldness and joy, you know. Because, I just hate being robbed of joy. Okay, so I think it would be a really good time to take a break right now. There are, at the very back, if you didn't see them on the way in, there's donuts back there. And so we'll take a 15-minute break, and then we'll, Doug will close
this session. Lord,
just
thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come together and worship you. Thank you for the what's going on. Pray for everybody here. Pray for this lovely woman. Pray for this.